I recorded a podcast a few weeks ago, and I asked what has happened to the 2023 version of the Philadelphia Eagles, and it all came to a crushing end last Monday. So that was what, the 15th? That was Martin Luther King Day of all days. It all came to a crushing end. And you know what? When it happened, I felt a different array of emotions. Like, one part of me was, like, upset. Because, not upset at the result of the game. I'm not upset at the loss. I'm upset more so of what has happened to this team over the last several weeks, you know, and the season, ever since that, you know, San Francisco game. And then I look at, you know, how they're going to fix it. And I'm just hopeless because I don't think there's a way that they can. So there's a few things I'm going to explore in this episode of the podcast. And I guess there is no time like the present to just start it now. So welcome in to the Philly Sports 444 Podcast, and I'm your host, Dom Lewis. And if you were under a rock, you know that the Eagles lost their wild card playoff game to the Buccaneers. 32-9, I believe that was the score, which is ridiculous. Like, it just so happens, it was like, it's almost like it was poetic that the Eagles scored the least amount of points of any playoff team in that entire wild card weekend. That was just crazy to me. To just put up 9 points and to be the last game, like, it was I don't know, I don't think poetic justice is the right word, but it was definitely poetic as to how everything just came crashing down. It's everything that we're, and I'm not going to break down any X's and O's. I'm not talking about the game anymore. Like, it is what it is. It was a game. Like, they were lucky to be in it by halftime. They were only down 16-9 by halftime. They were lucky to still be in the game. But, you know, getting a safety and then getting a touchdown scoring you on the next play, like, it just was like, yeah, like, this team is giving up. They gave up, so why would I even talk about the X's and O's? There's no way to fix that. Like, there's just no way to fix that. Like, it's effort. You either care about it or you don't care. So, and usually I wear my Eagles hat, but I got my cap outside Scully on. One reason, because I just bought this thing and I love it. And I'm celebrating. I didn't get a chance to celebrate my Founders Day on dry land, I guess you could say, because I was actually on vacation. But we had our Founders celebration this past weekend, and I got a chance to, you know, attend banquet and see a lot of brothers I haven't seen in a very long time, and just, you know, just really, really, really show the greatness of Kappa Alpha Psi. So I thank God for Kappa Alpha Psi. I always say that. I thank God for Kappa Alpha Psi. Like, I know it's, I'm a brother, I'm going on 16 years now, and it's like, you know, just seeing the greatness of different brothers and people who have mentored me and my friends and, you know, people who I call brother. It's just been a great thing. So that's why I got this going on. But I digress. I can't talk about the X and the O's. You know, you care about it or you don't care. And the team, they stopped caring. It was obvious and it was evident. Like, it was just a microcosm. That game was a microcosm of the last part of this season. And I felt ashamed, like, to be an Eagles fan. Like, because, you know, there was a time in the season, I remember recording a podcast. I was actually on another vacation at the time. And I was like, I'm so thankful to be a fan of this team. And nothing could be more, it couldn't be more the opposite right now. Like, I'm a fan of this team, and it's like, I'm only a fan because I'm a fan of the team. I'm not a fan of the people who work for the team. I'm not a fan of the players on the team. I'm not, I'm not a fan of how the organization is run right now. Like, and I know it's, you know, I might be going a little bit overboard because, you know, the wound is still fresh. But I say that because you can't put that on display the way they did and expect, like, people to just remain silent like nothing's wrong. I just felt an extreme sense of disappointment, you know, let down. And then there was a part of me that was, like, relieved that the season was over. Like, I was relieved that it was over. Like, I'm like, finally. Like, this nightmare of a season is over. And I just was mad that we had to wait until Monday night for it to be over. I would have rather it been over Saturday night. And then we could have enjoyed the rest of the playoffs, like, you know, during the weekend. But we had to wait until the last game. And to put on that display, it was just... You know, I was speechless at one point because I was just like, they're just that bad of a team. A bad football team. And I remember saying it in one of my other episodes. I was like, yo, they're just a bad football team. You know, just after me praising them for being so good. Like, I can't believe, like, the light switch flicked on and off like that. Like, that puzzled me. I think that's what's puzzling me more than anything. The fact that they got to this... They climaxed at 10-1, and then out of nowhere they just came crashing down, and it was like, it wasn't even like it was like gradual, it was drastic. Like, they just dropped out of nowhere. You know, okay, you lose the game, San Francisco is bad, you know, the Cowboys game, whatever, like, you know, you lose that bad, then you fire Desai, and then, you know, you just go on this streak where you're just losing games that you shouldn't lose, like you're losing to, you know, Seattle, you know, on a 92-yard touchdown to end the game, which is wild to me. A 92-yard drive to end the game results in a touchdown to end the game. And then, you know, you lose to Arizona. And then you lose to, you know, the Giants at the end of the season. Now everybody gets hurt. A.J. Brown gets hurt. He can't even play in the wild card round. It looks like he gave up. And then it's just, it was a mess. It was a mess. And it was like, okay, I'm glad the season is over. But I wanted change. I want to change. And it feels like to me, what's happening now is not what they need to do, which is what I've said is they need to rebuild this thing. And they're not rebuilding it. They're trying to retool it. And that's not the answer for what is. They're not going to get better that way. They're not going to. Like, you can retool it. You can sign some free agents. Like, but in order to build a sustainable defense for years and years to come, you need to actually draft. And you need to change your philosophy on defense, and they're not going to do that. It's evident, because they're not going to fire Nick. Like, the reports came out over the weekend, and it looks evident now. They're not firing Nick Sirianni. In fact, Nick Sirianni fired Sean Desai today. And Matt Patricia will not be returning. These are per reports from, I think, Rappaport and... Tom Pelissero, these reports are already out, so they're not. Sean Desai got fired by Nick. Like, he didn't get let go by Howie gave Nick the power to fire Sean Desai. And, you know, they say that Matt Patricia will seek other opportunities, but basically he's fired too. And Nick did this firing, and it was expressed in the report that I read that Nick did the firing. And that made me upset, obviously, because, not because they got fired, I want them to get fired, but, like, Nick did the firing. Nick didn't lose his job over this. This is, I don't think people understand the magnitude of this collapse. Like, this wasn't something that just happened. This wasn't something that just, you know, oh, it was a bad break here and a bad break there. No. This was a historic collapse. And I know people have heard the report, but I got to credit Ruben Frank, because he was the first one to say it. They are the first team since the 1986 New York Jets to start out the season 10-1 and not win 12 or more games. So they started out 10-1 and they only ended up winning 11 games. And then they're the first team, actually, to start out 10-1. Only end up winning 11 games and lose in the wild card round, because the Jets, when they played that year, they won their wild card round. So this is an historic collapse. of this team. Like, this is not something to be taken lightly. And I feel like I'm upset because the Eagles are taking this lightly. They're taking it way too lightly for me. They're not, like, addressing, like, the core issues. And I know people like Nick, but Nick has to suffer for what happened. And he's not suffering. Like, they're not allowing him to suffer. They're just, you got a chance to fix it, and you got to fix it. Like, no. In business, when CEO, when things go wrong, like, in a business, and stocks slide, and things are just going haywire, a business, like, is, you know, losing money, like, bleeding, they fire the CEO. Like, they don't fire, like, all these underlings. Like, they fire head people. CEOs and CFOs, like, COOs, they all gotta go. They leave. They get fired. The board fires these people. And Lori didn't do that. Lori did not do that, and Howie didn't do that. I don't know who even called the shots. I don't even care at this point. Neither one of them did it, though. They're allowing Nick to stay, and I don't see how you survive that or come back from that. After a team quit on you, I don't see how you come back from that. How can you re-motivate the team and say, just give me another chance and for them to play for you again? Because you're not getting rid of all the players. Jalen ain't going nowhere. Like, your top guys quit on you. I'm not saying Jalen's a quitter, but, like, there was a difference in the Jalen Hurts that I saw in the Buffalo game and the Jalen Hurts I saw out there on Monday night playing the Bucks. And there was a difference in A.J. Brown going on the stretch of the season. And there was a difference in Dallas Goedert going on the stretch of the season. There was a difference in the offensive line going on the stretch of the season. Like, and there was a, oh my God, the defense, let's not even talk about them. But it was a difference. And if the team quits on you, if the team quits, period. Let's not say they're quitting on you. If they quit, that is a reflection on leadership. If something happens wrong at work and the whole team is screwing up, they're firing the leader of the team because there obviously needs to be another leader that's put in place, or they demote them or whatever. To fire the leader or demote them or whatever. Move them to another team. But this can't stay the way it is. Like, Nick can't stay at the helm and you expect a different result. And it's to me, all this shows is it's going to be a waste of a next season. And I can't go for that, man. Like, I'm not going to expect a different result. I'm not going to expect the team to be good when you're not changing any. You're not changing things at the head. You're not making the necessary changes you need. You're not making drastic changes. Like, you're not even drastic. Like, I'm not saying be spontaneous. You're running a business. I understand you're running a business. You got to do what's best. But you can't go off of emotion, right? But something wrong happened here. And just firing Sean Desai is not enough. Just letting go of Matt Patricia is not enough. Yes, the defense did bad, but there were a lot of offensive mistakes and a lot of offensive things that were in question. And it just did not go well down the stretch. And Jalen was not happy. And A.J. Brown wasn't happy. Dallas Goedert wasn't happy. Smitty wasn't happy. His offensive line wasn't happy. Like, you're not, like, making a drastic enough change to understand, like, okay, this is definitely going to change. And I'm going to show you how much we care for it to change. We got to make things better. And we're going to do this. And it, like, having Nick still there, I don't dislike Nick Sirianni. I don't dislike him. I don't think he's a bad, I don't know if he's a bad coach or a good coach, honestly. I don't know if he's a good head coach. I would say that. I don't know if he's a guy to be a leader of men. Because leaders of men don't have people quit on them like that. Not like that. Not what happened with this Eagles team. Not like that. Yeah, people go through lulls and ebbs and flows of a season. Teams don't quit like that. You got to find a way to re-energize your troops. You got to get the best out of them. He did not do that. He's responsible for that. I know, like, he's not responsible for the defensive play calls. He's not responsible for the defensive game, but you're still the head guy. Nothing happens on this team without you. And the fact that it happened on your watch, you need to be held responsible. I can't stress it enough, man. I can't stress it enough. Like, these changes need to be made, and him still being at the helm is a problem. It can't be a money thing. Like, Doug got fired. Andy got fired. Ray Rhodes got fired. Chip got fired. He didn't even finish the season. Chip got fired before the season was over. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in them making this decision not to fire Nick. And not making a drastic enough change. Them not recognizing, like, this is not a quick fix. I feel like they think that. I feel like they think this is something that they can just retool, get a couple pieces here and there like they've always done. This is not that kind of deal. I cannot stress it enough. Like, you have to change your philosophy on defense. Like, you got, and what I mean by that is you need to get linebackers. Like, true. And I know they got N'Kobe Dean. I get that. You know, they're looking for him to be, like, their guy. But let's keep it a buck about N'Kobe Dean. He can't stay healthy and he's undersized, right? You know, and he's, you know, just from him being, he's not, he hasn't been on the field enough. So, I don't know what they expect to do, but they need to revamp that. Their whole linebacking core, their secondary. They have some tough decisions to make as far as cap-wise. You can't bring Bradbury back, can you? Can't. What are you going to do with Bradbury? I mean, I think you cut him. I think you can cut him June 1st, before June 1st, or after June 1st, and some of the guaranteed money goes down. But, I mean, the Eagles, man, they're in more trouble than you think. And I feel like they're not taking it. It's not. They're not moving in. To me, they're not moving enough with enough sense of urgency. And I know they're, like, my man Clint, you know, God bless him. He thinks that, you know, the organization is very well ran. And I think that too. I think that overall the organization has been very well run. Excuse me. For the last 20 some odd years, right? You know, ever since the Andy Reid era, they've been very well run. A world-class organization, you know, from the insides of the NFL, like, people think that, right? You know, they've had way more success than they've had failures as far as playoff runs and stuff like that. Having playoff runs, like, not just Super Bowl, but playoff runs. They made it 3 Super Bowls under Jeffrey Lurie. They made it to, I guess that would be 6 conference championships under Lurie, with the 5 with Donovan and with the 1 last year. So success, they've had that, right? From a standpoint of just being a quote unquote winning organization, I guess you could say. But Baltimore's been a successful run organization. New England was before Tom Brady left. Kansas City has been, right? Let's see. The other organization. I think Green Bay, for the most part, has been a successful organization. I think, for the most part, a team like, let's see, New Orleans has been a successfully run organization, right? I think, like, they've had more winning seasons than they've had losing seasons over the last 20 years, right? they built Super Bowl teams and teams going to the conference championships and stuff like that. San Francisco has been a very well-run organization over the last, not over the last 20 years, but I guess I would definitely say over the last 5 years, right? Just building their roster. And I mean, they've gone to the last four or five conference championships. They've been in the last four or five. You know, they had a very successful run under Kaepernick. And then they, you know, John Lynch became the GM. And, you know, they've been very successful under him. But, I there's other organizations that have been successful too. You know, Eagles aren't, to me, I'm not going to give you a pat on the back for, other teams have done the same thing you've done. But I think other teams' philosophies are a little bit better than Eagles. Like, Baltimore's philosophy about defense is it's something that everyone should strive to be. They always got solid linebackers. They always got a solid secondary. They play tough. They play hard, right? Now offensively, they suck sometimes. Offensively, if they didn't have Lamar, I don't know. But, you know, Lamar, he works so much magic. But you know what, though? You know, Lamar suffered for so many years. However, they finally got somebody in there who was able to adjust and get Lamar to play to his highest level that he's been playing at. He looks better in this MVP year than he did in his last MVP year. So, I say all that to say, like, you know, they understood there was a sense of urgency to try to get Lamar to play at his highest level and, you know, to try to keep him on the field. You know, last year, they made the playoffs and they played like half their games without Lamar. But I say all that to say, like, there was a sense of urgency, like, okay, we got to keep Lamar on the field and we need to make sure Lamar has the best coaching that we can get him. And they're not doing the same thing for Jalen, I feel. Like, maybe they tried this year with Brian Johnson and it failed. But okay, you gotta let Brian Johnson go then. Like, I saw enough this year, like, it was enough of a sample size where it's like, I can't expect it to be something different. They're not creative enough. They're not creative enough, one. They don't take what's in front of them, two. They don't run the ball enough, three. Too many weapons and they don't utilize them to the best of their ability. It's not enough of a sense of urgency with this team. That's what's bothering me. That's what bothers me more than anything. It's not even the fact that they lost or they didn't win or, you know, they're not. Because even if they would have won last week, they would have got scraped today by the Lions. I mean, at least they would have played the Lions, but they would have got scraped today anyway. But it bothers me. It's not enough of a sense of urgency with this team, like, to correct things. Like, firing Desai is not enough. Letting go of Patricia is not enough. You needed to wipe everybody from that defensive side, honestly. And yeah, I heard there was a report out there that Nick told he told Lori that one of his defensive coordinating candidates would be Denard Wilson, the guy they let walk out the door last year, who had secondary playing at this highest level, right? And that's all cool. I got a list of guys that I think should be considered for defensive coordinator for this team. Denard Wilson was actually at the top of the list. Al Harris is one of them. But I feel like that's just not enough. Like, that's just one part of it. You're not going to correct everything just by trying to just get a new defensive coordinator here. You need to change your philosophy. You need to get younger players on that side of the ball. Defensive line needs to play better. The secondary needs to be probably wiped out completely. Or at least, you know, you need to get younger corners in here. Or let the young guys play. It's not enough of a sense of urgency with this team. And in the offense, like, for it to be an offensive league, for it to be a league where people want to go downfield and stuff, Eagles didn't do that well at all this year. And they weren't creative enough. If you really want that, like, you need to change, like, who's calling plays or what plays are being called or what they have available to call. They didn't do enough this year. They were a shell of what the team was last year. That's not enough. Like, I know they started out 10-1. I get that. I'm not even negating that they did that. But even at 10-1, everyone saw that there was a problem with this team. I can go back to numerous games they played when they played the Patriots to open up the season, when they played the Bucks early on, and that the Bucks game was probably their most complete game, and even then they didn't look all that great. Both Washington games. Like, there were times in the season, like, they just didn't look like the team that we were accustomed to seeing. And it's not enough. I look at the teams that are in the playoffs now. I looked at the Lions today, right? The Lions did exactly what they were supposed to do, like, in different times of the game. Just, like, giving the football to their running back and letting him run. Taking the, what the defense gives you and completing short passes. I even saw Baker Mayfield do that, even though they lost today. I saw Josh Allen doing that today. Like, yeah, the Bills didn't win today, but, like, Josh Allen, he might have played his best as far as from a decision-making standpoint. Probably played his best football in the playoffs from a decision-making standpoint today, because I just felt like he didn't try to do too much overall. I mean, there was a couple plays we probably should have not did too much, but, like, I think he just did the... I think he just made the best decision that he could. And you know what? That's play calling, and that's an offensive coordinator, and the Eagles don't understand. Like, it's not... Like, what they did this year was not enough, and there were so many flaws in what they did, and it goes back to coaching. A lot of it was just coaching. You can't just let that slide. You can't let it slide. And that's my problem with everything. And that's why I'm like, I don't know how they fix this, because they're not doing enough to fix it, at least from a front office standpoint. So I don't know what they're going to do. But all we know right now is that the defensive side of the ball is probably being wiped out. And I don't know what they do from offense. I don't know if they're going to meet with the media again. I don't know when they're going to announce, like, a, you know, when Lori's going to talk about the state of the team, whatever. I need answers. I need answers. Like, I think the fans deserve answers. And them taking their sweet time, them not having a sense of urgency, it's a problem to me. Like, this was not something that you see every day. Something went wrong here. And we deserve to know why it happened and what you're going to do to fix it. That's my problem. That's what I want to see. Like, that's why I'm so down on this team right now. And they're going to be my team. Like, I'm not going to give up on the Eagles. But I don't give up on the Eagles because they're the Eagles. They're my team. It has nothing to do with Lori. It doesn't have anything to do with Nick or Howie. They're my team. They're our team as fans. They're the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm not giving up on them from that standpoint. But I am not. It's a lot left to be desired right now with this team. And I'm not getting any answers. And no one is. Maybe we'll get answers tomorrow. I mean, you know, well, technically today, because now it's technically Monday. But disappointed overall. So that's all I got to say about, I mean, the state of the Eagles. My state, I mean, what my problems are, my gripes are right now. I don't have any answers as far as, like, how they can fix it. Besides, like, they gotta build it through the draft. I've been saying it for weeks. Like, this is not a retool. They need to rebuild the entire thing. They need to rebuild it. You have to build something, and it has to be sustainable for years to come. Like, for a time, you just can't go off of, I'm a retool here and a retool there. Just don't think it works that way. You stop trying to cheat the process and realize you have to go through one. I think the Eagles would be better off if they realized that. I know the other big news with the Eagles was Jason Kelce. Multiple reports came out saying that he's retiring, and I know Kelce came out and said on his own podcast, like, he didn't officially retire, or he didn't announce his retirement on purpose, you know, saying that, you know, when the time comes, you'll hear it from him, and it'll be official, and all the other stuff. I get that. You want to have control over your story. I understand that. And I don't hate him for that. But I think Jason Kelsey is done. And I think what people don't, you know, I feel like not enough people are, one of the biggest issues with the Eagles this year was picking up the blitzes. And you guys do know that Jason Kelsey, him being the leader of that line, he's responsible for that, right? And he did talk about it a lot on his podcast, like where he talked about, like, he gave an example about Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale throwing so many different blitzes at him, like, you don't know where they're coming from. You know, I'm not saying, like, he's over the hill, like, he can't learn to pick up blitzes, but, you know, a lot of times when Jalen's out there running for his life and all of that stuff, like, you know, they're not picking up the blitzes, and part of that's on Kelsey, like, but no one wants to say that because everyone loves Jason Kelsey. I love Jason Kelsey. I listen to Jason Kelsey's podcast every week. I got SportsCenter on in the background. I just saw him, you know, he's out there in Buffalo, got his shirt off. Like, dude's having a blast. Like, I love Jason Kelsey, but, like, he's not as strong as he used to be, right? They suffered a lot this year, you know, with the blitz, and he's partially responsible for that, is he not? What else? I just think that there comes a time where you just gotta, you gotta just cut loose, or you gotta make a tough decision. And I think that, I mean, Jason Kelsey can still play, honestly. He can. But why not go out on top? You made your, you know, your sixth All-Pro team, your first team All-Pro again. Like, yeah, you got some football left in the tank, but you are 36, right? Do you want to be 38 and, like, be a shell of yourself? Or do you just want to go out on top? Like, I was looking at, like, what Jordan did. I know Jordan eventually came back, but, like, people, you know, when Jordan retired in 98, like, and that was supposed to be his final retirement, like, it was, like, looked at, like, he was going out on top. He had finished another three-peat. Like, he finished again. Came back and just won championships. And, you know, he had his time away from the game, and he missed the game, and he came back, and he went out on top. But, you know, I look at it like that. Like, people should go out on top while they can. Like, don't become a shell of yourself. Don't tarnish your legacy. That's just how I think about things. I would not. You know, I mean, whatever. Listen, if he decides, like, he's not going to officially retire, he's going to come back for one more year, I'm sure the Eagles will pay him $15 million to come back for one more year. You know, it would be something that I wouldn't do. Like, because I feel like the Eagles just got to get younger, and they have to start a process. It's better to start the process and try to go through the process now than, like, you know, you be dealing with this and it hurts wanting out and stuff like that. They don't understand the sense of urgency. Like, it's a sense of urgency here to rebuild this and try to do it as quickly as possible, but they don't get that. Oh, the Eagles made me so mad. But with Kelsey, I feel like he's done. I feel like he's just waiting. Probably waiting until this, you know, this playoff run for his brother is over with. Trav killed today, by the way. He crushed it today. And I just feel like, you know, he's taking this time to really just kind of ride off into the sunset the way he wants to. And that's cool. But I feel like Jason Kelsey, for the most part, he's done. And I feel like people gave him his flowers enough. And I'm here to say thank you, Jason Kelsey, for what you did for the Eagles. What you did for football, honestly. And you know what, man? Like, for him to be, like, an undersized guy, more of a finesse player than power. I mean, I'm not saying he's not strong. But, you know, for him to be a quick, agile lineman, especially a center, he's probably the model for how people want to have centers these days in the league. Because he's, like, you know, super fast. Understand, he's super smart. He's an extension of Stoutland, right? But, like, I just think, like, you know, you had your day in the sun, man. It's okay to let it go. You had your day in the sun. It's over. It was a great run. And like you said it on your podcast, like, it was, you know, don't feel sorry for me. I had a great run. And I'm like, you know what? You did. You had a great career, man. You had a great run. You did your thing, man. I think you changed center, honestly. I think you changed it. So thank you to Jason Kelce for what you did for this team. We'll never have that championship without you. We'll never have these playoff runs without you. We'll never, you know, have that memorable speech at the parade without you. So thank you for what you did, for what you've done for the game. I would say enjoy your life, man. You made enough money. You know, you've given enough to the game. So you deserve to, you know, enjoy your fruits of your labor. That's just what I think. That's just my two cents on Jason Kelce. Before I go, let me do a quick wrap up of the rest of the playoffs this weekend. Lions beat Tampa Bay 31-23. They're going to the NFC Championship. San Fran, they won their game. I don't even remember who San Fran. Oh, they played Green Bay 24-21. Actually intercepted Love on the last drive. They intercepted Jordan Love, and they were able to escape with the win. So it's going to be San Fran and Detroit next week, playing in San Fran. I know a lot of people want the Lions. I mean, they want, but a lot of people want the Lions to win, and a lot of people want San Fran to lose. It's like a combination of both. Personally, I mean, like, I don't want San Fran to win, but, like, at the same time, I don't hate San Fran like everyone else does. Like, they're a good team. They deserve to be there because they're a good team, and they took care of business all year long. So, they had, like, a little lull where they had a 3-game losing streak. They went on a bye, came back, and they just dominated after that. So, I have no gripes with San Fran. I really don't. I respect that team. I don't like them, but I respect them. I don't hate them like everyone else does. Like, they make the Super Bowl, they just make the Super Bowl. Like, I don't like the whole Brock Purdy thing as far as, like, how people hype him up. I just think he's a... I think you, at that point, honestly, with that system, you could put anyone there. Anyone could play it. It is more of... Maybe I got to give Kyle Shanahan credit. It is more of his system than anything. And they have a very stout defense there. But I look at it like, you know, anybody could play quarterback over there. They could draft a quarterback next year, and that quarterback could play there. Like, Purdy is nothing special to me, but he is going to the conference championship. This is his second year in a row, so kudos to him. And we'll see how everything goes next week. I mean, I'm excited to see. I said this earlier. I'm excited to see if Detroit can stop CMC, and I'm also excited to see how San Fran stops St. Brown, and how they stop the tight end that the Lions have, because they got some players over there too. Goff ain't scared to let that thing go, and Goff is not going to, he's not scared to take what you give him. So I think that's what makes, that's the difference between, like, you know, like the way, like, the Lions run their offense versus, like, how the Eagles run their offense. Like, Eagles just want to go downfield all the time, but Lions are going to take what you give them. They're not going to... They don't stress. They don't trip out. They just going to play the way they play. And I'm really, really happy for Detroit. I'm super happy for the Detroit Lions and their fans. For the organization and for the city, honestly. Like, I look at them as, like, they've had so much bad luck for so many years. But you know what, man? They made it. They made it, finally. They made it to the conference championship after so many years. And if they don't win next week, then they don't win. But, you know, just having them get this far is an accomplishment in itself. San Fran, like, they've been around the block for so long, I wouldn't be surprised if they win and, you know, they get to another Super Bowl. I mean, I commend them because they've taken their anger and their disappointment from last year, and they got back. They didn't let it deter them. They got back. So I respect that. I don't like the team necessarily. I don't like the whole gravitas or the bravado or whatever. But hey, when you kicking people's behinds, you can be cocky like that. So I can respect the team for their success. I'm not saying I like them, but you know, I respect it. On the AFC side, man, Lamar's Lamar, boy. He had 4 touchdowns yesterday, I believe. So they won their game, and they're going to conference championship. They won 34-10 against the Texans. Texans going to be around for a little bit, so people got to respect them. So kudos to Texans on the season that they had. C.J. Stroud, man, Miko, man, he's a good coach, man. DeMeco Ryans is a great coach. There's going to be some noise out of that division for the next couple of years with them and the Colts, too, and the Jags. It should be a good division at AFC South. But, listen, Lamar, man, I'm hoping Lamar wins it all just for his own sake, man. I feel like, you know what, MVP year, cap it off with a Super Bowl and become Super Bowl MVP, too. Screw it. Just do the whole trifecta, whatever. But Lamar, man, is amazing, and I feel like it's going to be a good conference championship game in the AFC because Kansas City once again beats Buffalo 27-24. Buffalo had a chance to actually tie it, less than 2 minutes left, and kicker missed the kick. Why, right? Kickers only have one job, to kick. That's all they got to do. They just got kicked. Like, it's, you know, they don't have to tackle anybody. They don't have to. Your just responsibility is to kick the ball. And if you're kicking a field goal, make the field goal. Like, I don't understand, man. And I'm not saying that's the only reason they lost the game. They lost because they made a couple of mistakes, you know, and Kansas City was able to capitalize. Kansas City, they do what Kansas City does. They find ways to win. So, I mean, kudos to Mahomes and kudos to Kelsey and Andy, man. Andy is so great. Like, I think that's what's being understated by me, personally. Like, I'm so mad for Buffalo. I'm so disappointed for Buffalo because I really wanted them to get over the hump. Recognizing that Andy, man, has made it to so many conference championships is crazy. Like, I think this is Mahomes' 6th conference championship. He's been in the league for 6 years, and he's been in 6 conference championships. Well, he's been in the league 7 years, I believe. 6 conference championships. And then Andy, for him to get so many with Donovan, he got the 5 with Donovan. So it's like, Andy, man, is really, really a great coach. Him and Bill Belichick, you know, is no longer the head coach of the Patriots. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy to see, like, you know, the old dogs, man, they're old dogs, but they've been in the league still for a reason, man. So, kudos to Andy, man. It should be exciting AFC Championship next week. I'm on the Lamar train. I'm on the Lamar train. Like, I really, really want Lamar to get his due, to get his MVP, to make it to the Super Bowl, get his Super Bowl MVP, and win his first Super Bowl. That's what I want for Lamar. I want that. Really want that bad for him. And I, you know what? I'll say this one more thing. Someone said it in a group text message, but they were like, you know, I don't know. No, Ryan Clark. Sorry, it was Ryan Clark. He said it on Twitter. He was like, or X or whatever you want to say. He's like, I'm looking at these quarterbacks. He's like, I'm looking at Mahomes and I'm looking at Allen and looking at Lamar yesterday. He's like, I don't know how Brock Purdy beats these quarterbacks. I mean, I know he doesn't go toe-to-toe with these quarterbacks, but I don't see how he outplays them or outduels them. And I'm like, you're right. You can't outduel them. You can't outplay those guys. Like, those quarterbacks are all better than Brock Purdy. Regardless, even Jared Goff is better than Brock Purdy. Every quarterback that's playing in the playoffs right now is better than Brock Purdy. Everyone. Every one of them. Even today, with the only argument I would have had as far as the quarterback not being better than Brock Purdy, it's probably Baker Mayfield. But every quarterback, and I would make the argument Baker Mayfield is better than him, but I would say every quarterback that played today is better than Brock Purdy. Every quarterback that played this weekend is better than Brock Purdy. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, this is the same thing I said about the Niners a few years ago. I remember when they played Kansas City. I said, at some point, Jimmy G's going to have to make a play. Like, you can't ride on this defense forever. At one point in the game, you're going to have to make the play. And I feel like Lamar's going to make plays over him. Mahomes will make plays over him. Even Goff, I would pick Goff to make plays over Brock Purdy. And I'm not here to bash Brock Purdy, but I just need the hype to stop. And I'm not on that hype train. Like, I'm just not. I'm gonna go against it because I don't understand the hype and I do your job, yes. But like, let's not go overboard as far as like him being this whatever. Like, nah. At some point, you're gonna have to make the play. Like, not CMC, not Debo. Brock Purdy's gonna have to make the play. I mean, I remember seeing it. Jimmy G, I was like, you're going to have to drive this ball down the field. Like, at some point, you're going to have to just beat Mahomes. And he wasn't able to do it. So, I look at it like that, man. You know, should be some good conference championship games. We're going to see. That's really all I got. I don't really feel like talking about the Sixers or the Flyers right now. Or the Phillies. I will say this, the Sixers, they won their last back-to-back, which was pretty good. And B's still playing on the tear. They had a really, really good game against the Nuggets earlier on last week. But I'm still not in Sixers mode yet, even though the Eagles lost and their season's over. I'm not in Sixers mode yet. Not. They've been playing well, though. I shouldn't be that way, but it's like, not in Sixers mode yet. Not. They're playing well, though. They're playing well. Let's see. I'll look at the record real quick. Let me see. Third in the East. I knew that already. Let's see. They actually won their last five games, which is pretty impressive. They're only a half game behind the Bucks for the number two seed in the East. Nobody's catching the Celtics, I feel. But I mean, like, the Sixers are playing well. I'm just not in the mode yet, like, for them. And B's having another MVP season, I'm still not in the mode. Like, dude is on a tear. Dude is playing better than he played last year. And I still can't get myself to get. You know what it is? I know what it is. The Sixers have let me down so much over the course of like last 5-6 years. Where it's like, I don't allow myself to get too high on them because I know what the expected end is for them. And until they prove me wrong, I already know where it's going to end. And that's why I don't allow myself to get into the mode with them. Like, I can't get myself excited for them yet. Like, I can't get myself excited for them. I don't know when I'll be excited for them. I just don't know. So, it's unfortunate, man. It really is. Because they're playing so well. Like, and Joel Embiid's having such a great season. And I, you know, Joel is my guy. But it's, Maxie's having a breakout season. Playing extremely well. And it's just, I can't get myself hyped for them. I can't. Let's look at the Flyers real quick. I know the Flyers were like second in their... Yeah, they're still second in the Metropolitan Division. They lost today, though. 5-3 loss. They lost their back-to-back. That sucks. They actually were leading in the third period 3-1. And Ottawa came back and got 5 goals on them. I mean, they got 4 goals in the third period. I don't know what happened. But... I'm sorry, they got 3 goals in the third period. They were leading 3-2. Sorry. But the Flyers got another game tomorrow? They playing too many games in a row. This is crazy. I don't know, man. I can't get the hockey stuff, man, be getting me. They might be tired. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, they're playing well overall. They're playing well. I think they just had a bad couple games to coach well. To coach well. Like, Torch is a great coach, honestly. Everyone knows that. John Tortorella is a great coach. He said this is his last run as a coach. And he's a good coach, man. He gets the most out of his guys, I think. So, I don't know. We'll see. You know, Flyers, I can't. They're making some noise. I'll say that. I personally can't get that hype for them because I was so engulfed in the Eagles. But respect to the Flyers, man. They're doing well. And I don't know how long it'll be for pitchers and catchers. Let's see. It's January 22nd. So pitchers and catchers probably should report in less than, I know it's less than 30 days. I wouldn't say it's 25. Let's see.
Philadelphia Phillies pitchers.
Let's see. Do I have anything for that? February 22nd. Literally a month from now. It's crazy. Yep. Yep. Oh, the games begin on the 22nd. So, yeah. The games officially begin on the 22nd. So, that's a month from now. So, yeah. Actually, they're going to be taking the field on, actually says, pitchers and catchers around MLB reporting early February 13th, while other rosters taking the field a few days later on February 18th. It doesn't say anything about the Phillies. I'll put Philly spring training. Let me see that real quick. Doesn't say. It doesn't say. We'll just go with the February. We'll go with the February 22nd day, as I said. I know there's a date out there. I just don't know what date it is. So, my bad. My bad for being unprepared. I apologize for that. But should be good conference championship games next weekend, as far as NFL is concerned. And I think All-Star Break is coming up for the NBA and the NHL soon. So, I guess during that time, I might just take like a little bit of an assessment on the Sixers and what I see out of the first half of the season versus what they need to do the second half. Flyers, maybe I'll give a little bit of an assessment with them and a little bit of a recap as far as, or maybe outlook, I should say, on the Phillies for their season. So, but as of right now, man, the Eagles are kaputs, as they say. And I'm not sad to see them go for this year. But I think there needs to be a more of a sense of urgency as far as what they need to do going forward. And I don't feel that way right now. And until then, I don't have that much hope in the team. I will say that. That's really all I have, man. That's all I got. I can't say anything else. I appreciate everyone else for listening. Everyone, I should say, for listening and for tuning in, for sharing the podcast when you guys share it. I do appreciate that. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get the Kelly Green hoodies. Too much was going on. Honestly, too much was going on. I wasn't able to execute that. But maybe sometime down the line, you know, I mean, for next season, I'll do the Kelly Greens again. But maybe I want to do something more with, like, the Sixers and the Flyers. And, you know, later on when the Phillies are playing, I'll do something with the Phillies, too. But, yeah, we'll work that out, you know, as we go down, as we, you know, approach those things, all right? But for everyone who has supported me, thank you. Please keep sharing the podcast. Please follow the podcast. You know, follow me on social media, all of that stuff. If you ever want to get on the podcast, let me know. You can come on. You can co-host with me. You know, come on and we can talk. I've done it with Shantae before, and I had other people lined up as well, but I dropped the ball on that. It was no one else. I dropped the ball on that, so forgive me. But overall, man, that's all I got, and that's all I'm going to record. I'll record again, I guess, after the championship games, you know, before the Super Bowl, because I do want to give an outlook on, you know, rest of the playoffs and talk more about the Sixers and the Flyers and Philly soon. All right. So until then, this is Don Bull signing off from the Philly Sports 444 podcast. That's it. That's all. That's all I got. Peace.